and gentlemen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right now.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I think I've said it like five times.
I don't see Bill Belichick, you know, letting Mac Jones really control the situation.
Earlier on the show, CEO of All Elite Wrestling, Tony Khan. NBC Sports broadcaster, Mike Tirico. Coming up, University of Colorado head coach, Deion Sanders. From ABC's Big Sky Deadly Trails, actor Rex Lynn. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Phone calls, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We've got time for that over the next hour before we beat it on down the line here on a Wednesday. Or if you're watching on Roku, before we re-air. The Roku channel is free. Every single day, we're on between 12 to 3 Eastern Time. Live on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices. Select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TVs, the Roku app, and therokuchannel.com. We're available on Sirius and XM. We're available on Odyssey. We're listening. People are listening right now in their ear gate, to use the phrase that Michael Irvin always uses. Our podcast, that's what you can get every single day. Our podcast, Cumulus Podcast Network, distributes a podcast available wherever you get your podcasts. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is a nice little backdrop, but we also have a video on demand service as part of the Roku channel.
Yeah, we do.
And our relationship with Roku. Rex Lynn, a longtime friend of this program from back in the day of CSI Miami. He's on the new show Big Sky. We'll talk about that with him. He's a diehard Longhorn fan when he comes out here in a moment. But joining us right now on the Rich Eisen Show, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the head coach of Colorado football. Yes, and also... here to talk about the new docuseries from Smack Productions. Available right now, streaming on Prime Video. Of course it's Prime Video. Give me a break. Coach Prime is the name of the show, and Deion Sanders joining us right here on the program. What's up? Yeah. Oh, round of applause. What's up, Deion?
Humbleness. How are you doing and everyone else, man? I miss you. Love you. Appreciate you.
Right back at you.
Let's get this thing going.
Let's get this thing going. What's this thing? I mean, you got so many things going on. I don't know what the thing is. What's the thing?
I do.
Okay.
First of all, the doc is going well. I believe last time I checked, we were number two on Prime Video.
Okay.
Love the naming and the branding of all of that. I don't know what took us so long. What took us so long to get together? I have no idea.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I even told him to check my Amazon account that I'm a fluent shopper.
Is that why you get your Louis? Is that what you get your Louis? Deion,
I don't get my Louis from. No, I don't.
Come
get
on, Rich.
Louis from. Yeah. But I told him to check that just in case, you know, there was doubt that how fluent of a shopper I am.
Just let's get down to it right off the bat, Deion. Do you think you'd be on the cover of GQ if you didn't have new hair? Let's get into it.
Wow.
You know what?
Oh, my God.
What do you think? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think the new hair, the new attitude, just a whole new appearance.
Yeah, right.
Got me that cover because I was bald for a multitude of years.
Yes.
And they didn't call.
You didn't get in that Hall of Fame of style until you got the hair.
They told me it's a demographic that I didn't appeal to, and I did it hard.
And now by the way, on the cover of GQ, standing in front of the helicopter, is that the helicopter that took you from the Braves game to the Falcons game, or the other way around? Is that the same helicopter?
It is not the helicopter, and still to this day, Rich, this is no lie, still to this day,
yes,
I have no idea where that helicopter came from.
Okay, what? Seriously? You have no idea?
I have no idea. Rich, it's not like I said, hey, guys, I need a helicopter to get me from practice, you know, in 85 South all the way to the stadium. I don't know where it came from. All I know, all I can recollect is it landed on the practice field. I went in, took a shower, and got on the helicopter and went down and played some baseball. And it just kept happening day after day after day. I have no idea who paid for it, who sanctioned it, who told them where to land. I have no idea to this day.
So you just got in. Did you ask the pilot, like, where's this going? Like, or so who told you to get in?
It's sort of like if a helicopter lands on the field, everyone look around, and I say, It's got to be for me. This has to be for me. You know, who else? So it was like that. It's like when I had a Lamborghini Diablo delivered to the hotel, and we were just coming back from practice with the San Francisco 49ers at the Super Bowl in Miami, and everyone looked around, and Eric Davis said, "It ain't but one guy would do something stupid like this." Yeah, that's for me.
So, did you like shove Jeff George out of the way and say, "That's mine"? Is that what happened back in the day?
No, I have no idea. To this day, I don't know if it was a television station or how it happened.
Fantastic.
So, Richard, there wasn't the guy standing there with the sign that just said Prime?
Yes,
in front
Sanders.
Of
Sanders. Prime. Sanders. Anyone? There's nobody standing there, baggage claim.
But it would just happen every day. I would just see at the conclusion of practice winding down, I see a helicopter flying in. Get ready to land.
Fantastic. So that I love that. I saw it literally is the first thing I thought of when I saw the helicopter behind you on the GQ.
Well, yeah, they wanted to placate that, but it was a great shoot, man. It was Rich, honestly,
yes.
You know, at our age and stages, only a few things in life we want to accomplish, and that was one of them. I've always privately, secretly wanted to be on the cover of GQ. Always. And to be able to fulfill that dream at this age and stage of my life is unbelievable. I know God is good. Well, God is always good. But I really wanted that.
And you're in an inaugural class of inductees into the GQ Sports Style Hall of Fame with Iverson and Jeter. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, that you know, Iverson had a style that was second to none. I mean, he was just he was that guy. And Jeter, what he brought to New York and his consistency over the years. I don't know about the fashion part of it, but his consistency over the years. Jeter's in fashion. I don't know about that. But his consistency over the years has been unparalleled. Like, he is it. He is baseball.
Mm. Great Deion Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. Coach Prime is the new docuseries available for streaming on Prime Video right now, following four-part series, Jackson State University's Tigers football in 2022. And as we all know, the new coach of Colorado Buffalo football right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And congratulations on that, Prime.
Thank you.
What attracted you to Colorado, Prime? Tell me.
Rick George, man. You talking about an AD of all ADs that really... It wasn't a sales pitch. It was so passionate and so genuine of him wanting me to come there to provoke change in this program. And he said it was his life mission to make sure this program has a winner before he's gone, before he leaves. And I've heard from other ADs through this whole process and the interviewing process, but he was head way above others. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate his candidness. I appreciate, you know, what he brought to the table and his consistency. And, you know, coaches don't get official visits. Let's just get that straight. We don't get to fly in and check it out, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
We don't get to fly in and meet everybody and say, oh, let me see if I want to do this. So, you know, you're doing your homework. You're looking over the rosters and trying to see what's salvageable and things. Even the complex, you see pictures and videos, but you can't really get in there to see what's what. So you just got to take a leap of faith. It's got to be a faith thing. And just getting here and seeing all of this, I'm talking to you right now,
yep.
Looking at this out of the stadium. The field is covered with snow. It's beautiful. The mountains are unbelievable. It's not as cold as people would fathom. Like 30 here is like 15 in Dallas. Like 30 here is crazy. Like 30 here, I'm in a hoodie. 25 here, I'm in a hoodie. It's not the same cold. It's wonderful. The people are so hospitable, and they're hungry and thirsty for a winner. And we're going to do our best to appease that.
Well, I that was one of the first things I thought of too, Deion, because, you know, I've been around you a long time. You know, you've been from Fort Myers. You know, there was a reason why in all your travels in the NFL where you got to choose where you played, you didn't choose cold weather, you know?
Never. I would never do such a thing.
I know that. Never. You can tell that never. All the time. There's a reason why, you know, you and Irv would share that as well, like football weather. You're like when people see snow outside, and they call that football weather.
Never played in the snow. 14 wonderful, beautiful years. Never played in the snow.
No, you might coach in it. I mean, you might coach in it. And so,
yeah, I may this year, but I mean, never played in the snow. So God blessed me through my whole career. Mm-hmm. I went on an official visit. It's ironic that Georgia just won a national championship. I went on an official visit to Georgia back in the day when Vince Dooley was at the helm. And time I walked through the breezeway getting off the plane, my curl froze. So that was it. That was it for them. Didn't even have on some socks, and didn't own a jacket at the time. I'm a Fort Myers kid. I don't know why you scheduled me to go down there at that time of the year, the last game. You know, that was bad. And when the curl froze, it was over.
It's a wrap. That was a wrap. That was a wrap. That was a wrap. That was a wrap.
And the wind hit those ankles. It was it. It was it. I think I had on some Z Cavalrici pants. You remember those, Rick?
Oh, I had those.
Yeah, I think I had on a sweater from Chess King.
Chess King!
Yes. I told you guys about Chess King.
LaGlove shoes. I'm just giving my age right now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Chess King is perhaps what might have kept you out of the Fashion Hall of Fame, until this
Chess
very
King
moment.
Was hidden now, Rich.
Yeah, come on, Rich.
Yeah. Not put your mouth on Chess King.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I tried to tell you guys about Chess King. You can't disrespect Chess King.
Say, Rich, if you say anything derogatory about Chess King in the South, you may get kidnapped.
Or in the Northeast.
Do not say anything about Chess King or Mr. Man. I'm telling you, Chess King or Mr. Man was it, Rich.
Well, when you first arrived at Colorado Prime, let's talk about this. Your speech to the kids went viral. And you talked about, you know, you're bringing Louis with you, meaning, you know, packed suitcases. Yeah. And you got a lot of blowback, as I'm sure you heard, about telling kids that you had just met, hey, your time here is very limited. And because I'm bringing Louis with me and I'm bringing my own bags with me, I'm bringing people here. Why did you say that? Why did you do that, Prime?
Because I got to be honest with these kids. I can't give these kids false hope and a false dream. I don't work like that. The way I've succeeded and to reach where I am now is straight honesty. And whether you like it or not, I could put it in a gift and wrap a beautiful bow, but it's still going to be honesty when you open the darn package. It is. And this is normalcy. 71 kids we dismissed at Jackson State. That's the only reason we're able to accomplish the things we're accomplished, because everybody's talking about they want you to come in and change the culture. Yeah, but I got to change the people. You never said anything about that. When you change the culture, there's only one way to do that, change the people. So we watched the film. We studied every darn thing we desired to study. When Rick George came to visit me, our beloved AD, I gave him an assessment of the team. I was already prepared and ready, and position by position, you know, player by player, everything about where they stood and what I felt about that. So change is inevitable. When there's no success, you got to alter things and change, make a consistent change. And that's what we're doing, and that's what we've done. Now, it's going to be some guys that we kept on, and they got to play their butts off in the spring to even maintain that. But, shoot, I think right now we're number one in the portal in transfers out of all colleges. I believe you might check that while I'm talking, but I think we're number one in the level of transfers that we acquired through the portal. And we're in the top 20 or 25 in recruiting right now, I believe. You only do that one way, change.
And how do you, assess what you're going to be able to do moving forward in this world of portals, Dion? You know, and
I love the portal.
Well, I know you do, and you're definitely taking advantage of it here. So many other programs you hear are not terribly big fans of it because kids don't have to, I guess, follow through on commitments or can tell the coaches, if I don't play, then I'm out of here. I mean, how do you handle that when you use it as much as you've been using it, Dion?
Well, we have a 40-40-20 type of ratio right now. That's been our formula for the last couple of years. 40% grad transfers, 40% guys who's in the portal, 20% high school kids. Because at some institutions, you don't have the time to develop, so you're taking less high school kids. Now, if you're a seasoned program, you could flip that. It could be 40-40-20 with the grad transfers being the 20 and take more high school kids. We got to win, and we're going to win. And right now, and that's why we have the approach that we have, the 40-40-20 with guys out of the portal, 20% high school. We may flip that, but not now is not the time for that. We know what we want, we know what we need, and we know what we have.
So when I saw you at the college football national championship on ESPN, and I saw you at SoFi doing that, when do I see you in that game as a coach? What's your plan on that?
Man, that first of all, the stadium is unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yep.
Yeah.
Almost as unbelievable.
It does not quite touch Cowboy Stadium. Don't touch Cowboy Stadium, but it's nice.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And just the atmosphere. You know, Rich, I've been doing with you, you know, as my host, who's the most.
Thank you.
For the last, I think, 14, 15 years, we were doing NFL. So I wasn't attached really to college. But being attached to college like I am right now, it is unbelievable. Just the atmosphere and the adrenaline and just the hype and just the want for – it's a whole different crowd. College fans are totally different than NFL fans. They're totally different, and I love it. I absolutely adore it. So seeing that just makes you more hungry, more thirsty. You couldn't wait to get back to Colorado right here to Boulder to do it, to get in the coach's office and say, guys, this is what I experienced yesterday. I saw this. This is unbelievable. Let's go. Knowing that one of my defense coordinator, Coach Charles Kelly, is from Alabama, so consistently he's been there. He understands that life. But, man, it just ignited me, Rich. I love it. So the plan is to get there as soon as possible, but we got to get the pieces of the puzzle as soon as possible as well.
Well, I mean, you're taking on TCU to start next year because I guess you didn't get a waiver, right, for Arizona State. So, I mean, there's a program right there.
And what happened there? I don't even know what happened there.
Neither do I.
I was only regurgitating what I was told. So
okay. So with TCU, I mean, you could see how you can go from a program that few people expect to being in the national championship game. I mean, so why not?
That's the plan. That's the plan. Okay. A lot of people talk negatively about TCU. You gotta applaud them for what they accomplished in a year.
All right.
So I truly applaud them for what they accomplished. I know it was a game not in their favor, but you got to applaud what they accomplished throughout this year.
Well, I mean, you know, and trust me, I know you weren't involved in the college game for all that time, but I did see you become interested in youth sports and youth coaching. I watched that from the ground up.
That's my whole life.
I was waiting for you to show up to the Hall of Fame announcement ceremony, and you were livid that you had to, you know, NFL Network asked you to leave practice. You showed up with your whistle on.
Yeah, I left the game.
I know.
I left the game, and I didn't want to leave my kids. You know how passionate I am and I've been about these kids all my life. So that's part of the fabric of who I am. Like, a lot of people thought I just became Coach Prime the last 3 years. I've been Coach Prime for 15, 20 years. So and doing it at a alarming rate, even at the Hall of Fame, man, shoot. We had 7 busloads of kids. We stopped in Memphis to play a game. We stopped in Louisville, and we stopped in and we played a game in Canton with 3 different teams on the way there with 7 busloads of kids and their families.
Well, what's going to happen what's going to happen when you take on USC? What's going to happen with Snoop? What's going to happen there?
Snoop is going to roll with me.
Okay.
Snoop is going to roll with me.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive. I'm positive.
All right. I don't know about that. And plus, I've watched you mature as a coach as well. I remember watching games with you in NFL Network at the NFL Total Access Studio. When a player made a dumb move, you screamed, cut him at the screen, that you would cut him before he came back to the sideline.
Can't do that. Yep, can't do that. See, that's why I can't coach in the NFL, because that would happen. I would go into halftime with 53 and come back out with 23.
Prime. I love you, man. Congrats on Coach Prime. Congrats on everything. I mean, Coach Prime, fun stuff on, of course, Prime Video, available now for streaming, the 4-part series. And then congrats on getting in the GQ Sports Style Hall of Fame.
Okay. I have two questions.
Okay.
How's Susie?
She's great. We have 3 kids still.
Okay.
Yep.
I was just wondering, did she cut the mattress off?
Here it comes.
This is ridiculous.
No, I just need to know, Rich. Did she cut the mattress off her back?
We have just 3 children. Our youngest is 9 years old, Dion. Does that answer your question?
Okay. So you got clipped. So Billy Blank. So you're Billy Blank now?
Billy Blank.
I'm doing a workout video. Yeah,
oh my God.
Doing a workout video.
You're Billy Blank. Sure. Okay. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to know because I know you shoot. I know you got a Uzi.
shoot.
So you're saying for me to get into the sports broadcaster style Hall of Fame, I got to get hair. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Come on.
Restore. You got to go to Restore and get it done.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
You can, Rich. You can do it. I can bring you back.
Come back, Broadcaster of the Year. That's what it'd be?
Yeah.
The CBOI? The CBOI?
Exactly.
That's what I'm doing?
Yeah. I love it.
I love you too, Prime.
Right?
Miss you too. Let me know however I can help. Just reach out anytime, whatever I can do.
Oh, you know I will.
Okay.
You know I will.
All right.
Okay.
You take care. That's Prime. It's Deion Sanders, everybody.
The greatest of all time.
Prime time.
Let me tell you something about Deion.
He can send us some Colorado gear. We'd rock that.
Oh, I'm definitely rocking some Colorado
gear. I turned 40. 13 years ago. By the way, it's the bar mitzvah of my 40th birthday this year.
Congrats.
And Susie invited Prime. We had a party in Los Angeles. She didn't tell me. He surprised me. He flew in for it and flew out. One of the greatest teammates ever.
He is Deion. He's the best.
And you were there screaming, cut him at the screen.
I saw it.
That's now a coach of men. But
yeah. He used to.
Cut him!
Yeah.
Yell it.
Yep. I wonder how many programs that could have had Deion and just said, we can't go with a guy who's unproven, are going to be ruining that decision.
Could
Georgia Tech be one of them?
I don't know. The one that we thought a couple of years ago, his alma mater, is now preseason top five for next year.
We'll find that one out. Colorado, Florida State, will they ever be scheduled? I don't know. How great.
I don't know, man.
Didn't know who sent the helicopter for him.
He just got in it. I don't believe that.
Man, that's really
Longhorn fan, diehard Longhorn fan, Rex Lynn. There he is.
Hey.
Cannot wait. We want to talk about, by the way, this is storytelling hour.
Yeah.
One of the best storytellers around, Rex Lynn, when we come back.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season two coming up.
Catch up with season one or start season two on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, powered by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Rex Lynn is here. We just saw a clip on our Roku side of things. Big Sky Deadly Trails airs tonight every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Available to stream on Hulu the very next day. It is great to see you. How did you handle the TCU of everything being a Longhorn fan, Rex? How did you handle that?
Them going to the national championship.
Yes, sir, because they went through my school to get there. So.
I know they did, and plus I had to get over the fact that they beat us, the Longhorns. But
yes.
You know what? I was really happy for them to be there. I thought it was great. I think it was a great Cinderella story.
Mm-hmm.
I was really pushing for them. I was so glad. I'm not a big Michigan Wolverine fan, so it was really kind of fun to see.
Oh, okay, very good. Now, I totally understand that.
Well,
I get it.
The Michigan Wolverines I like, but I'm not real big on the coaching.
Oh, you don't like Harbaugh? You're not a big Harbaugh guy?
Not really.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because one time they played Kansas State and Bill, the Kansas State coach.
Snyder.
Snyder was out there, and there was some incident where they went to midfield and he didn't shake Bill Snyder's hand or something, or just kind of passed him off. I can't remember what bowl it was. Anyway, from that point on, it was years ago.
You wouldn't forget it. You couldn't get
it. I just couldn't get over it. So, and I love Bill Snyder. I've met him a couple times. Anyway, so I thought Michigan would roll over TCU.
Yeah,
but
so did I.
I really did.
Didn't happen. And then Georgia just rolled over TCU.
That was terrible.
Goodness gracious.
But I was happy for TCU as far as the Cinderella story of them going, you know, and making it. I mean, what was it, 1938, the last time?
It's been a while. And I just, one of my early recollections of knowing you, we go way back to when you first appeared on NFL Network back in the day, visiting you on the set of CSI Miami.
you having a golf cart and you outfitted the front of it with two huge longhorns on the front of your golf cart, just driving it around the set of CSI.
And by the way, you still do the best Horatio from David Caruso imitation that ever was.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
It was David Caruso even said it. So. He did.
Well, and you were so kind enough to be part of our show open prior to. There we are. There's you and I. You're reprising your famous role.
You know, I love from that.
There we resurrected Sergeant Frank Tripp, and there I am as Caruso for our Miami Super Bowl back
you
in 2019.
You were amazing. By the way, let me just say, go back real quick.
Yes.
When I say I'm not a big Michigan Wolverine fan, yes, I am a huge fan of college football. I told you the story a long time ago, but I'll make it brief.
Go ahead.
When Texas played Michigan in the Rose Bowl, and we won that field goal, Dusty Mangum kicked it with 2 seconds left. Before and pregame, I think I'm a big helmet man, and I think the Michigan Wolverines are second only to the Texas Longhorns with the coolest helmet in college football. At pregame, there was a big offensive lineman for Michigan Wolverines, and they were warming up, and they were in the end zone. And he had his helmet, and it was on the ground, and I just kept looking at it, and I just wanted to hold it. And I was with Butch Worley, who at the time was a senior associate athletic director at Texas, and I was looking down. He goes, "What are you looking at?" And I said, I just want to hold that helmet.
Did you pick it up off the ground?
I asked the guy, the lineman.
Yeah.
I told you this a long time ago. I said, "Hey, do you mind if I – hold your helmet?" And this kid, I mean, he was like 6'7", 310. He looked up to me. He goes, "What?" I said, "Can I hold your helmet?" And he goes, "I guess." So I just picked it up and looked at it. And I said, I was trying to tell him why I wanted to. I said, "This is the best looking helmet on the planet." He just looked at me like, "This bald dude is weird." So I just set the helmet back down. But they do have the greatest helmet.
I remember that day. I was there at that game as well. It was the year after Texas played USC in one of the greatest Rose Bowls and greatest college football games ever.
You're right.
And I just remember, we finally made the Rose Bowl. It was the first time in a long time. And I got to see Vince Young and everybody else coming back at me. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was... What an incredible team that was. How jacked are you for Arch Manning, Rex? How jacked are you for this kid?
Okay, so can I tie that right into a story that I wanted to
Rex,
do here?
Rex, you are
Mr. you guys ready for a story?
Oh, yeah. By the way, these guys, just bringing it all together,
yes.
They were saying that on the set of our shoot for our Super Bowl, you guys were in the tent?
We were in the tent just listening to Rex tell stories.
Right. So they loved, you
he
know.
He sat with us like we'd been friends since day one.
That's Rex Lynn. Okay, go for it. The floor is yours.
Okay, so my girlfriend, Reba McEntire, had invited me to come to the CMAs this past year, but they also invited me to give the Best Song of the Year award with Reba.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have two stories about this.
Yes.
I knew that Peyton Manning was going to co-host with Luke Bryan. My mission going to the CMAs was to go and subtly pick his brain to make sure Arch was going to sign with Texas because we'd already lost to TCU and we lost to Alabama. We lost to Oklahoma State and lost to Alabama. And there were rumors on the internet that Arch might be looking elsewhere. So we get to the CMAs. Lo and behold, we go to Reba's dressing room, and right here, 7 feet from her door, Peyton Manning's dressing room. And the door was open. And I thought, do I dare? So we walked in Reba's dressing room, and I'm just kind of looking around. She goes, "You want some coffee or something?" I said, "No, I got an issue here." And she goes, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Did you see who's next door?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Well, come here." And we
come here.
We opened up the door and we put it open. I said, "Look." And she said, "Peyton Manning, that's great, Rex." And I said, "But I got to get some information from him." And she said, "Do you know him?" And I said, "No, but this is huge." And so I walked around.
Crucial.
And,
this is crucially important.
So I walked around her dressing room for 10 minutes trying to think how I was going to get in there. His door was open. I didn't even know if he was in there. So finally, Reba goes, "Why don't you just walk over and knock on the door?"
Great
so
idea.
I walked over and I peeked around the corner.
Yes.
And there's Peyton. And he's reading the script.
Yes.
You know, he's studying because he's getting ready to MC, man.
And
I mean,
by the way, this is serious business for him. I've done events with him. Like, this is not just him. Like, he's literally in prep mode. He treats everything like it is the Super Bowl.
I might as well have walked in Robert De Niro's dressing room before he was doing Taxi, because he was looking. He was by himself. He's just like this, and he's looking. And I just picked, and I probably talked in a high voice. I probably went, "Excuse me, Peyton." I said, "Hey, Peyton," and he looked up. He didn't even look up like. And I love him. He's a great guy.
Of course.
He did, but he didn't look up like, "Hey, come on in." He looked at me like Reagan from The Exorcist. I mean, he didn't. And I said, "Hey, I'm Rex Lynn. I'm right next door with Reba, and I actually met you on the University of Texas sideline one day." And he goes, "Hey, Rex, come on in." And so I came in, and I'm thinking, I wonder how I bring up Arch, because you can't ask him about recruiting.
You got to warm him up, buddy. Yeah. But you also probably got the sense that he didn't have much time here.
He didn't.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, so I had to figure out how to navigate that. Eventually, I just cut to the chase, and I said, "Boy, I tell you, we are so excited about Arch." And he literally did this. And all of a sudden, my heart rate went up, my mouth got dry, and I was like, "I wish I'd have never brought this up now." And I said, "Now, I'm not asking," and I just dug myself in the ground. I went, "Now, I'm not asking for any information. I'm just saying, as a fan, I'm a big fan of Arch's, and we're sure hoping he goes to Texas." And he looked at me and smiled, and he goes, "Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you're okay. I mean, I don't know." He said, "You know, these guys are 18 years old.
Oh.
They've changed. They don't even know where they're going to go eat a cheeseburger." I mean, it was that kind of thing. Oh, wow. And then I thought, okay, eject. But right before I'm psychologically ejected, he goes, "Hey, is Reba?" So he immediately cut off, because he wanted to meet Reba.
There you go.
Yeah, and he goes, "Is Reba next door?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Is she busy, or is she got?" I guess she is, probably. And I said, no. You want to meet her? And he said, "Yeah." And I'm thinking, this my conversation about football and Arch Manning is over right now. I said, well, come on. He goes, "Yeah, well, is it?" The second they met, he wanted to know about Loretta Lynn. He had questions about.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
He and Reba just hit it off. And we actually have a picture right there.
There
so
is.
See, right next to the left of Peyton is his room, yeah, and there's Reba's. That's how
right
close
there.
We were.
Wow. So you didn't say, "Well, I can get Reba to commit to a meeting with you if
you can get me on the phone with Art." Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah, exactly.
I just need to close this deal here.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
And by the way, like we had Steve Sarkisian, the coach, on during the season, mm-hmm. and we were told in advance you cannot ask him about Arch questions, because December is when he will have to physically sign his letter.
Right.
And even the night before the signing day, there was rumors red hot that there was a big name player that was going to switch schools at the last second.
I thought it was him.
We're sending texts to each
other.
I
was sure it was him.
You know, and he's just sending it nonstop about it.
Yeah.
And he just, we were freaking out, but
thank God.
He's coming.
Yeah.
He's signed.
Yeah, he is.
He's
I hope
coming.
It works out. You know, do I have time for another CMA story?
Please.
So, you guys, I only had four lines to come out on the stage.
Yes.
And, Reba says, we're not really like our characters on Big Sky. And then at the end, she says, but we don't slice people's throats, and we're not mean, and blah, blah, blah. And then my line is, and I'm not bald. And then I'm supposed to introduce the song of the year. Back up. The first series ever on Paramount Television was a series called Waco. I played Dick DeGaron, who was David Koresh's attorney, and he was the first and only one that went into that compound to talk to them, that was a civilian that was outside of the, before all the tragedy happened in there, and so I played Dick DeGaron, and I had met him, and so there's a big scene in Waco in this tent where I come in and I meet these FBI agents. One of the FBI agents was Michael Shannon, one of the great actors that we have.
He's now playing
George and Tammy.
Right.
Which is a phenomenal series.
Mm-hmm.
In that scene, his character was not my adversary. We were negotiating. The FBI didn't want Dick DeGuerin to go in and talk to him, mm-hmm. but he said, I'm going in, I'm his attorney. So I'm negotiating how I'm going to go in. They made me do that. They made Dick DeGuerin walk 200 yards to the compound. So they had snipers out there, and they had to organize this whole thing. And we had great actors in that room. Shea Winnie, John Leguizamo, we had Glenn Fleshler, a lot of great actors. I had 9 actors in there. I had most of the dialogue with Shannon. But during rehearsals, Michael Shannon was standing over in the corner of the tent, and he was just staring at me. I'm talking about like he might have been a serial killer or something. Well, during rehearsals, I was thinking, well, I wonder why. First of all, he's not right here with us. And why is he over there? And why is he staring at me? This went on for 10 or 15 minutes. It was a stare. I don't know if he was preparing.
I wouldn't
want to
be on the business end of a Michael Shannon stare. He's been on this show in that chair, too.
Oh, he has.
Yeah, and I just want to, you know, I mean, he's a brilliant actor.
He is.
And sometimes you can't tell if, you know.
You can't tell hardly
what the preparation's
anything
going
about
on
him.
Here. Yeah.
So I worked with him for 4 days, and he just stared at me. Fast forward to the CMAs. I'm nervous. Reba comes over. She goes, you doing okay? I go, yeah, I'm ready. I got 4 lines here. We're at Bridgestone Arena. It's sold out. The second they said Reba McEntire and Rex Lynn, I got so nervous. And we had to walk down this long thing where the microphone's at the end of this long runway.
Yeah.
And Reba starts off. She goes, you know, on Big Sky, she starts talking, and I'm faking the, you know, I'm the boyfriend of Reba, just smiling and everything. And I look over, Michael Shannon is right there, and he's looking at me the same way he did on Waco. And that said, he's not talking to anybody at his table. He doesn't have a date there or anything, I don't think. He's glaring at me. He's right here. He's 10 feet from me. And I just happened to go, I was listening to Reba, and I went, and I looked, and he's staring at me, and I panicked, you guys, and I forgot my line to say, I forgot my, yeah, and I'm not bald. So I just looked straight ahead, and Reba says, you can watch it. So Reba goes, and she finishes her last line, and I'm going, and then I go, yeah, and I'm not bald. It didn't even come out right. I was just thinking, Shannon got to me again.
Yeah.
He got to me again.
There you go. Shannon. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Wow.
Fantastic.
I did actually, you know, at the end of that show, the day we wrapped,
the Big Sky or
no,
the CMAs?
On Waco.
Okay, on Waco.
Panda was a girl, that's her nickname. She was a base camp girl. And I said, hey, I want to try to get a picture with Michael Shannon before I leave. And she goes,
no chance.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. and I said, why not? She goes, well, he's been on the show, you know, for quite a while, and there's not really, we're not taking pictures. And I said, where is he? She said, well, he's on his way back from the set. And I said, tell me when he gets here. And she goes, okay. So she knocked on my door. She goes, Michael's here. I gave her my phone. I said, follow me. I walk around. He had one of those big star trailers, you know, I walk around. And he had forgotten to give his microphone backpack thing. So he was undoing it on his steps. Mm. Just, and I said, hey, Michael. And he turned around and looked at me. And I said, it's been great working with you. And he's looking at me like, what could you possibly want? Because you're wrapped. And I, you know, that's the way he looked at me. And I said, I have a wall of shame in my house with pictures. And I think that you and I belong on the wall of shame. So is there any way we can get a quick picture? And he thought about it for about 5 seconds. He goes, yeah, I guess I belong on that wall. I don't know, man. So we took this picture. I wish I had it with me.
That's all right.
Literally, the picture is me smiling big and him looking like it's the last place he ever wanted to be.
Well, you and Michael Shannon, you should do a show together. It'll be great. CSI Shannon.
Did you talk to him at CMAs? Did you go up to him at the...
No.
Hell no. No. Absolutely not. Yeah, no. Stay right where you are. Let's finish the show together if you got a few more minutes. Okay?
Love to.
Excellent. And we'll find out what's in the bag to your right foot, right next to you right there. Rex Lynn is here. Big Sky, Deadly Trails, airing tonight, every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap up this show and tell you who's on tomorrow's show in a moment. NetSuite wants to make sure that you know your numbers for your business. It's the top of 2023. If there is any time that you should make sure that you have the best visibility on your business, now is the time. Over 33,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory. You can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, improve margins. Know your numbers. Know your business. Everything you need is all in one place so you can get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to NetSuite.com/richradio right now. NetSuite.com/richradio. NetSuite.com/richradio. Hanging out for five more minutes before the end of the show here with Rex Lynn. Big Sky, Deadly Trails, airing tonight, every Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern on ABC, available to stream on Hulu the next day. Loved you in Better Call Saul. You're great in that, man.
You.
What a great series that just wrapped up in that.
One of the best.
And obviously, you know, so much in your TV and film career, and CSI Miami is how we first got to meet. You know, Rex was part of the celebrity fantasy football league that we had in NFL Network because we were trying to figure out how to crack the fantasy football code on NFL Total Access when we first were born, about how to, you know, make it enjoyable for fans. Now, you know, you have so-called experts who come on and tell you, play this guy, play that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But we had you had a celebrity fantasy league, and the trophy, the name of the trophy, the winner was a wooden football nicknamed...
The Woody.
It was, that's what it was called.
Oh.
You won the Woody.
Hey, now.
It was amazing.
And that's what we referred to it. And you won it one year, right?
Didn't I did, and I was proud of it. And I tell the story to people. It's odd to tell the story because I love my Woody. And, well, it's the Woody.
And, that's what it's called.
Yeah. And so I was telling Reba, I was so excited about coming back on the show. And I said, man, she goes, do you know Rich? And I said, oh, we go way back. He gave me a Woody in 2000. I couldn't remember the day. And she goes, what? And I said, no. The trophy is a wooden football. It's called the Woody. And I beat Paul Rudd in the finals. His team was Taste Like Chicken. Mine was T-Rex.
Yes.
And it still sits, my Woody still sits on my desk. And it's one of the most proud things that I own.
And Paul Rudd would come up to you whenever you saw him, like you stole my Woody.
I saw him on the red carpet not long after that, and he said, "Where'd you put your Woody?" And I said, "I got it on my desk, man." He goes, "I wanted it." And I said, "Well, a lot of people do, but I've got it."
Some Entertainment Tonight hot mic would be like, "What was this? What are you doing? Yeah. Wrap that back, run that back." Oh my gosh! Yeah, we've known each other.
I was proud of that, though. That was
Garland was in it. Like, there were some serious fantasy football players.
When we filmed the draft.
Yes.
Who was the comedian?
Who was the comedian that we had on? I don't know. There was
from Seinfeld or no? From mm-hmm. I'll think of his name in a second. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he was over here.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Rudd was over here. They had all their graphs and rulers and stuff.
And at the time, magazines.
Yes.
And periodicals. I stopped at Van Nuys in Ventura and got that NFL draft magazine.
That's right.
So I sat down. I'll think of his name in a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, I opened it up and I was looking, and they were drawing. They had draft. They had graphs and stuff.
Yeah.
And Rudd looked over at me. And goes, "Is that what you brought to the draft?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I'll never forget it." He goes, "And this fired me up, man, to win this thing." He just looked over and he goes, "Well, good luck with that." And I beat his butt. I'll tell you that.
Tastes Like Chicken. Tastes I forgot like, I that was the name of that.
Yeah.
I remember that all week. Rex, real quick, I saw this movie last week out of nowhere, just popped up. Any good Stallone stories from Cliffhanger?
Yeah.
Do you got a 90-second one? Because we're out in 90 seconds.
A quick story?
Yeah, about Stallone.
Nope, they're all too
old. Let's see.
He's going on in his head right now. Well, how about this? We've got about a minute and a half on the Roku side of things. Yeah. When we're done with this program, I'll give you 3 minutes to think of a 90-second.
Okay, I'll think when I have something to show you.
Real quick. Yeah, what do you got?
Can we do it?
Yeah.
Hey, look. Last time I was here, you got it.
It's in the bag. What's in the bag?
Well, first of all, it would appear that it's a
Crown Royal bag.
A bottle of Crown Royal. It would appear.
What's in the Crown
Royal?
Even to the most casual observer,
it would appear to be a bottle of Crown Royal. I pride myself on coffee cups.
I do it.
I love coffee cups, and I don't have any ones, two of the same.
Yeah.
Last time I was on the show, I asked for a Rich Eisen coffee cup, and they were out, but they sent me one about a week later, and it was cracked.
I remember this. Yeah.
I called, and I asked your assistant at the time. I said that I would like a Rich Eisen cup. Because it's my favorite cup.
It's cracked.
And he said, no problem. They never sent me one.
Oh! We're on it.
I will admit, that was me.
And
I remember what happened. This was right around the pandemic, right?
Oh, it was you. I remember now.
Yeah, it was right around the pandemic when everything went to crap. And I completely forgot.
Well, we're about to fix my you bad. Up with one, Rex. Thank you.
We're going to write this wrong, Rex.
I feel a lot better now.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we couldn't have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.